Listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 o'clock, and next is Kitchen Table Conversations. Tonight, we are re-airing a episode from earlier this year, and next at 7 p.m. would be Keeping It Real. Stay tuned. This is your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Engineering Committee will meet on the first Wednesday at 7 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Peace Jam Northwest on Saturday, April 7th and Sunday, April 8th at the Erb Memorial Union on the University of Oregon campus in Eugene. Open to teens of age 14 to 18, the Peace Jam Conference will include several addresses by Dr. Shireen Abadi, the first woman ever to become a judge in Iran and the first Muslim woman to win the Peace Prize. There will also be service projects, workshops in leadership, civic engagement, peace building, and more. Again, that's the Peace Jam Northwest on Saturday, April 7th and Sunday, April 8th at the Erb Memorial Union on the University of Oregon campus in Eugene. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
No. A lot of stuff's been heavy on my mind and heavy on my chest lately, so...
world around us, man, it's crashing and it's burning. Got me praying to the Lord for better days and deep discernment. I'm not nosy, I'm observant. I acknowledge I ain't perfect, trying to turn it, but it's easier than said. It's all reflecting in my head. No more dwelling on the past and being worried about what's next. It's like I'm on my last breath and with a noose around my neck. And it's day and age to reach this age. It really is a blessing. Oppression and depression got me stressing with this lesson. Is God trying to tell me something? If he is, then what's the message? I'm trying to get this money for my brother who's a college kid. Crying to myself like, thank the Lord, God, he really did it. Leading by example wasn't hard, and plus I dated women, taught them all I know, and 2 years later, I'm an auntie figure. Now what's the difference if I'm sinning in this contradiction, trying to right my wrongs, but I go left and miss the whole bit of living to do better. But I know I'm still living up and do whatever. My daddy's gone and my mama, she's my backbone. Like every time I fall off, I always go back home. Headed down the road of truth or death up in my rear view. It's time to make a change. The end of days is coming.
Hello, 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 hello. It's been a whole month since I've talked to you. I hope everybody's been doing well. This is Mary with Kitchen Table Conversations.
Thing.
And then we have Melly.
Hey.
In studio this morning. Or this evening, not this morning. Well, I want to start off with you, Melinda. A couple days ago, one of the resident coordinators in my apartment complex came to me and said, you know, there's this meeting, and I don't ever go to meetings anymore at my apartments just because I don't really deal with a meeting. I got to fan myself because I'm hot. Came up and she told me a little bit about what the meeting was for, and I just got excited. And I was like, you know what? I want to go, and then I want to talk to you afterwards. So, and she just so happens to be your niece.
Yeah.
So, and what it was she was telling me about her father and an organization that her aunt is with. It's called Donate Life. Donate Life. And I'm going to let Belinda tell you what it's about. And then I'm going to tell you guys a little something about myself when it comes to things, you know, the Donate Life situation. But so why don't you go ahead and tell the listeners what the organization is and what you guys do.
Okay. My name is Belinda Olive Beltran, and I'm a volunteer for Donate Life Northwest, and I'm serving on the board of directors right now. And I got involved with the organization 31 years ago because on 12/4/1985, my brother, he was shot in the head. He was brain dead, and he was able to be Oregon's first heart transplant donor.
That and that's one of the things that got me. I just thought that was really great. And now, you know, specific races, but he's an African-American man.
Yes.
Yes. And the family, you guys had to make the decision.
Yes.
To, you know, whether or not you wanted to donate. Can you tell the listeners what that was?
Okay. And what happened was my brother, he was shot in the head. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And he was brain dead. So the doctors, they came and asked my mom, would she be willing to donate my brother's heart, because there was a gentleman that did not have very long to live. Mm-hmm. And my mother said, well, I need to go and talk to my father. She was talking about her heavenly father. So she went in a private room, asked God for guidance and what to do. And her decision was quick. And she said, whatever my son can do to help someone else live out their life, take whatever. The rest is history.
Absolutely. After that, this young man's heart was given to a gentleman who had a family and children. And the reason why I want to say race, he was white, yes, is because of all the things that are going on nowadays. And, you know, I believe in equality.
Yes.
And for me, this kind of, it just shows you that it doesn't matter what color skin you have.
That's right.
Your organs are all the same.
That's
which
right.
means that we're all the same inside.
Yes.
And that man was able to live with his family for 5 more years.
Yes.
So without this man's heart, he wouldn't have been able to have those extra years with his family. And
that's right.
So, you know, I want people out there to listen who may have, you know, reservations about cultures or races being mixed in any kind of way. I just want you to know that, you know, it doesn't matter what color you are, especially when it comes to life.
Yes.
So, you know, just know that inside we're all the same.
Yes.
It was the same beating heart that he would have had at any other time. It's
yes.
It's not a different color. It's
that's
not a different race.
Right.
It's a heart. So that story really inspired me, and it made me feel like I wanted to bring you guys on the show.
Thank
so,
you.
And also in the meeting, I learned some information that I didn't know. I had told you that I was I haven't had an organ donated to me, but I have had 2 blood transfusions. And so, you know, I was told that I would never be able to give blood because I had the transfusions. Now, this was 26 years ago. So, you know, times have changed. But
yes.
Do you know, would I be able to donate my organs?
Well, what will have to happen is at the time if you're... You know, mm-hmm. when the time come, the doctor will make the decision because they'll run a series of tests mm-hmm. on you to find out what organs are
viable.
Yes, or okay. tissue or cornea.
Why don't you tell the people out there? I think it's eight different. I don't know. You can help like hundreds of people.
Yes.
With the different types of things that you can use as transplants. Why don't you tell the people what it is that you can actually use?
Well, we can use your cornea.
Mm-hmm.
We can use your heart, your lungs, your skin. They're just transplanting so many things now.
Mm-hmm. And with new technology,
yes.
I can just imagine that more is to come.
Yes.
And that's great. So, you know, I personally looked on my license. I am not an organ donor, but that's not that I can't change it if I don't want to. I can't tell anybody to come out there and come and do whatever, but... You know, listen to the information that's being brought to you guys tonight and make your own decisions. But I want to say something else. I learned there's a pamphlet that you gave me, and it was interesting to me about the cardiac arrest and the heart attack.
Yes.
It was interesting to learn that they're not the same thing. I did not know that. I thought it was just different terms for the same thing. And I don't know how many people out there know that it's different. But I just want to put it out there that a cardiac arrest is an electrical problem with your heart, and a heart attack is a circulation problem. So it's yes. different. And that was interesting. That was a piece of information that'll stick with me forever.
That's good.
So, you know, if nobody knew that, then yeah, look it up. Some good information. So, is there anything? And also, an enlarged heart. I had told you that my son had told me that he had an enlarged heart.
Yes.
And I found out that that was hereditary.
Yes.
Which I did not know. So now I'm going to dig into the medical history of, you know, his father and whatever, so I can find out where this came from, so that we can get more information and whatever about it. So yeah, that was it. That was interesting too.
Yes.
So is there anything in particular that you want to tell everybody, that, you know, how to get a hold of you guys, what the organization?
Yes. If anyone is interested in becoming a donor or volunteering or donating money so that we can continue to educate the public, to let the different communities know how important it is to donate, because once we're gone, that's it. So if you can help someone on your way out, why not? And remember, all of our blood is red.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And something else that I learned that, you know, I hear all the time, oh, it's against my religion, whatever. I learned that just about or all, I don't know if it's all or just about all major religions accept that you can donate your organs or whatever organs you can. And it is still okay with the church. So for those of you out there who are religious, I want to, you know, let that be known too, that, you know, go talk to your priest or rabbi or whoever that you talk to about your spiritual things, that, you know, it's accepted in the churches. So I didn't know that either. So I learned
great.
Something there too.
Yes,
so yeah.
Yes.
So that's great. So is there a website that they can go to?
Yes. The website is www.donatelifenorthwest.org.
Okay. Did everybody get that?
And the telephone number, if you want to reach them by phone, is 1-503-494-7888.
Wonderful. And if they call that number, being as though maybe somebody might have heard you, would they be able to ask for you to talk to you? Or is it just whoever answers the phone?
Whoever answers the phone.
Okay. So, yeah. So, there it is there. I thought that was pretty, you know, important that you guys hear about this organization and what they do, and, you know, how you can help out. And I'm looking at this flyer and it says recycle yourself.
Yes.
And it reminds me of the R's, you know, reduce, reuse, recycle, whatever the other one is, and now, or replant, and now it's recycle yourself.
Yes.
So we have five. I just thought that was kind of neat. But anyway, so yeah, I appreciate you coming on here and letting people know that, that, you know, having it come from a personal place for you, I think it makes it even that more important, because
yes.
like I pride myself on, you know,
yes.
what it's like to
yeah.
have to go through this, and, you know, have to have the devastation of your family member, or, you know, and have to make that ultimate decision with the family on what's going to happen to your loved one after
yes.
they pass. So, you know, I thank you for coming out here and telling people that. And is there anything else you would like to say?
Yes, I would like to say, for the support of the listeners, on March the 21st, they're having a memory in memory of Jerome Kersey, because I found out he was a donor also. So they will be honoring Jerome Kersey at the Blazer game on March 21st at the Moda Center. So if you want to get your tickets and come join us and support Donate Life Northwest, please attend the game on March the 21st. It's the Trailblazers versus the Milwaukee Bucks at 7 o'clock p.m.
And for those of you out there who may not know who Jerome Kersey is, he was a former Portland Trailblazer way back in the day when I was younger, and he was one of my favorites, actually, you know. The old school's always the best to me, you know, but that's because, you know, I'm older, so I kind of like her, you know. But yeah, so that's who Jerome Kersey was, and he was like a, you know, big with his community and things like that. So yeah, so for those of you who didn't know, that's that. So he's about, you know, a little bit older than me, so yeah. Great. So that's March 21st?
March 21st.
At the Motor Center.
Yes.
Gotcha. Alrighty. My friend is here. She brought me food. I'm hungry. Sure. We're going to go to a break. And we're going to play Lauryn Hill, Zion. See you in a second. Well, listen to you in a second, or hear you in a second, or whatever.
One day, I'm gonna understand. Zion. Unsure what the balance held, I touched my belly, overwhelmed by what I had been chosen to perform. But then an angel came one day, told me to kneel down and pray, for unto me a man child would be born. Oh, this crazy circumstance, I knew his life deserved a chance, but everybody told me to be smart. Look at your career, they said, Lauryn, baby, use your head. But instead I chose to use my heart. Now the joy of my world is in Zion. Zion's door. I've never been in love like this before. Now let me pray to keep you from the perils that will surely come. See, life for you, my prince, has just begun. And I thank you for choosing me to come through on your life to be a beautiful reflection of his grace. See, I know that it gives.
And we're back. Sorry about that. I had to take a food break. I was so hungry. I thought I was about to die. I was so hungry. So we're back, and we just got done talking to Belinda with Donate Life. Is it Donate Life Northwest?
Yes.
Absolutely. Let me get that right. So, you know, I'm going to go ahead and move on a little bit. So I don't know if this has ever happened to anybody or any of you guys, but today I woke up and I went on to check my messages. And I logged into Facebook to check my Facebook messages or whatever was on there. And somebody, I don't know how they did it or what happened, but somebody went in and I have pictures missing. There was like posts to somebody else that I didn't send. And I'm like, how does this happen? You know what? There's a couple people that have my password, but they're not people that I don't trust. So I was like, what? Where, how did that happen or whatever? So, you know, I don't know if that's ever happened to you guys, but it was really, really strange. So, you know, I had to go on there and be like, look, whoever it is, you need to stay off and stay out of my stuff. It's not okay. So I don't know if that's ever happened to anybody out there, but if it has, call in and let me know. Do you guys know maybe how that might have happened? Yes. Have you ever been hacked on Facebook?
No, I'm not on Facebook.
I'm like, out of every person in the world that's on Facebook, you had to hack me? Me?
I have, actually.
You have?
Yes.
I'm like, what was so special that you needed to come in and find out whatever information was on my page? Mm-hmm. That's just really crazy. So I just want to put that out there. That was one of those pet peeves that I had that I like to talk about. Stay out of my stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I also wanted to talk a little bit about some things that have been going on lately. you know, everybody out there, you guys know that my son is African American, and that we've had some issues throughout his life with various, you know, issues of racism and segregation and, you know, stereotyping and things like that. And I see a lot of that going on right now with all of the things that are going on in this world. For me, that is the least that you guys need to be doing, you know. We just lost a young gentleman not too long ago, unfortunately. Can you say his name?
His name is Quanis Hayes.
Quanis, that's right. And there was a protest at downtown this morning, so somebody had brought that to me. If, you know, I don't know if anybody out there knows who he was, but I'm sure that everybody out there can understand the fight that the family is having right now, being as though what had gone on, you know, he was shot by the police for whatever reason it may have been. For me, not a good enough one. But, you know, this has been going on a lot within the last couple of years. We've been seeing a lot of our young men, Trayvon's, and young women, you know, Kendra, amongst a whole bunch. I had a list, but there's just a whole host of names. It's not okay. And I want to put it out there that, you know, everybody knows that I'm for the youth and for the future of you guys. And this is not how we preserve our youth's future.
That's right.
You know, the police officers, you know, I don't know where to put the blame. As far as, you know, any organization or anything, I have to put the blame on the one particular person that did it. And that's from my own opinion. I feel like maybe there should be a different kind of training. You know, if you're going to shoot somebody, don't shoot to kill. You know, you could have shot him in the leg or the hand or the arm or somewhere that was non-lethal, and he would have went down just as fast. You know, so I feel like our police force needs to have some different kinds of training or understandings, because, and it's not just here in Portland, it's all over the nation that's going on. And, you know, it's a serious topic for me, because I'm afraid. I'm afraid when my son gets out of school and he comes home and he, you know, goes with his friends, I'm scared. And I have to explain to him every day that I'm scared of that. You know, these kids, they don't do anything. They do what kids do. You know, my son likes to go around and play with little, you know, shoot 'em up, bang bang, G.I. Joe type guns and things like that. Just being a boy, that, excuse me, that could end his life nowadays. Yes. And that's scary to me. You know, I don't know if you guys, you have a little bit more of a personal relationship with this young man that recently has passed. Why don't you explain to our listeners who he was from your point of view?
Well, I attended H.B. Lee Middle School with him, and he was a good boy, to be honest with you. Like, he really was, like, a good boy. Like, I don't know what happened after middle school, because we, like, lost contact or whatever, but while we were in middle school, he was a good kid. And I seen him a couple times, you know, like, outside of school, but I'd be like, you know, it was so long ago, you don't even remember like that, you know? So,
right.
Yeah.
You know, and all of the victims, I don't like to say bad or good, but, you know, for me, there's nothing that is quote unquote bad enough for you to just take a young man or a young woman's life. And I mean, they didn't try to take your life or whatever, for whatever situation it may have been, you know. Again, like I said, not a good enough one for me. I don't know. It's devastating to me. It's devastating for the fact that, you know, I feel so, my heart feels so bad knowing that I could possibly be in the same situation as these young people's families, you know, just because my son's skin is brown, you know. And that's like really crazy to me. It makes me want to go and walk my son, who's, as everybody knows, 15 years old and 6'3". He's bigger than I am, but it makes me feel like I want to go and walk with him and protect him and make sure that he's got this bubble around him, that nobody can hurt him because of his skin color. You know, not because of, you know, he broke into your car, or, you know, he slapped your girlfriend or whatever, but because he's got brown skin.
Exactly.
That's just not even okay with me. So, you know, it's kind of scary. But I want to let everybody out there hear my opinion about it is, you know, we need to love each other. Yeah. Because right now, today, in society today. We have too many things to be worried about than to look at our neighbor and say, I don't like you because you're black, or I don't like you because you're Mexican, or you don't like me because I'm white. We have way more serious things that need to be going on and need to be talked about within a community, you know, than just a skin color, because so much is going on. We are all facing the same thing, you know, in society. And if we can't band together and we can't unite, then we're never going to go nowhere, ever.
That's true.
You know, I see protests and whatever, and that's great. Stand up for what you like. But all the violence and the hatred going on out there, who do you think is going to listen to you if you're being violent and hating on somebody else for whatever reason it may be? Nobody. Nobody's going to listen. They're going to look at you and be like, see, that's exactly what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we need to come together as human beings, mm-hmm. as people, yes. you know, as one race. We are all human. Mm-hmm. That's it. There's no other thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all human, and we all need to get together, and we all need to band together and stand united, because we have so much going on nowadays. Mm-hmm. If we don't, we're not going to be anywhere. We're not going to get anywhere in my lifetime. In my kids' lifetime, you know, it's just history repeats itself. The violence and the everything is just going to go on and on and on if we can't take that stand together, mm-hmm. you know. And for me, it's standing with the youth, mm-hmm. because, you know, my life cycle is about halfway over, mm-hmm. roughly roundabout, mm-hmm. you know. So my job as the generation I am is to make sure that for the rest of whatever I'm here, mm-hmm. that they have a path. That they can walk, mm-hmm. and walk comfortably and safely, mm-hmm. to, you know, have a future for themselves and their friends, mm-hmm. you know. And the only way that's going to happen is if we come together and, you know, love each other. You don't have to love, mm-hmm. someone to be, you know, just, mm-hmm. say hi. You don't have to say anything. Just don't be negative and don't be violent. You know, you don't have to be in somebody's face. You don't have to like them. But you do need to be respectful of everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. You know, if you're not my friend, that's fine. You don't have to be my friend. Mm-hmm. But don't hate me because I'm this color. That's not a good enough reason for me.
That's right.
You know, so let me do something to you first. Mm-hmm. Then you know, then you can not like me. You know, that's how that goes in my mind. So I want to put that out there and let people know that, you know, it's time, mm-hmm. society, it's time. That we look at each other, mm-hmm. in a different view. Mm-hmm. We look at each other as, you know, I've always said, blood doesn't make you family. It only makes you related. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can be a family. Mm-hmm. Everybody, as one. We can all, it doesn't have to be that complicated. Mm-hmm. Life doesn't have to take you in these complicated scenarios if you just look at it from a different point of view. Mm-hmm. You know? And these are gonna be some trials that we're really gonna face, yeah. here in the future. We've got some issues that are about to come up. Go ahead.
So my brother is 23 and he lives in Eugene, mm-hmm. and he's 6'3", you know, over 200 pounds, but he is a really good man, mm-hmm. but you know, he still gets racially profiled, especially in the town Eugene.
My daughter lives there.
Yeah.
My oldest daughter lives in Eugene.
Cause he goes to school out there. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's crazy. You know, he's doing something with himself. He's not out there running the streets. And
he has a daughter.
See? Yeah. And I've told you, I don't go and post a bunch of stuff on social media. I'm just not that kind of person. But I've had a couple incidences lately that I have. And one of them was because somebody that I know told me that I wasn't parenting my kids right. Mm-hmm. And I took that to heart and I got really angry and I went onto social media and I was like, you know what? I didn't say no names. I didn't bust anybody out. But I was like, you know, you call me a bad parent. And you tell me that I'm this messed up person, but you're steadily on my line. You're steadily calling me. You're steadily coming to my house. You want to, you know, you need this. You want this. You whatever. You need my advice. You need a shoulder to cry on. So, you know, how bad am I, or how bad of a parent am I, if you're steadily doing this? I can't be that bad. You know what I mean? So, everybody knows that I have a past, and I like to use that in showing the dynamic relationship I have with my children, which, by the way, my daughter is on the phone. Hello, Marshalia.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, baby. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm sick.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank God you're not home.
What? I'm coming home tonight.
What? Okay. Yeah. So I'm very, very proud. I'll put it out there on the air. I'm proud of my daughter. She went and got her care provider number so that last show I had a guest on who was talking about her daughter had Guillain-Barré. And so my daughter went and got certified or whatever, to the provider number, so that she could help take care of her. Mm-hmm. And I just want to tell you, Marshaley, I'm really proud of you for that. You know, it's,
thanks, Mom.
It's not too many younger people around your age that step up and, you know, say, hey, this, without prompt, step up on their own and do it. And, you know, I am not only proud, but I'm happy to say that you are my daughter. And I want you to continue to lead that path for your generation and show them that, you know, you can still be who you are and where you come from and still have a future. You know, my kids were raised in St. John's. You know, they were raised in a rougher neighborhood. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth, and neither were they. I raised my kids very real. I'm raw. I'm real. I don't lie to them. I just tell them how it is. And because of that, in my opinion, they are who they are now. And my daughter has taken it to, you know, the way I wanted her to take it. She went that route. But before I lose my thought, I wanted to bring all that up because, you know, my children, they're not on drugs. They're not on the streets, you know, hurting themselves. They're not out there robbing houses and beating people up. They're not going to jail. They're not dead. They're not this. They're not that. So, you know, not that I'm perfect, but for me, being who I am, maybe I can tell y'all, just step back a little bit. Remember how you grew up and the things that you felt when you were going through certain situations, and know that those situations that your kids are going through, you know, they feel the same way you did.
Yes.
So you need to validate that. You know, yeah. Whether it's right or wrong to you, you still validate it. And, you know, don't make the same mistakes that our parents made, and having our kids feel the same way we did when we were growing up. You know, I want my kids to feel differently. I want them to feel like they can come to me. They could, you know, do anything that they want. My son could be the president and an astronaut and a doctor and all of that all at one time, if that's what he wants to do. You know, and so my dynamic, and I love saying dynamic relationship between me and my children, is for me something to be looked at. You know, a lot of people don't understand it, but maybe you could learn from it. You know, maybe you could just learn that, you know, you don't have to be so judgmental when it comes to your kids. You know, I don't know if you felt like I was judgmental to you, Marshaley, but
no, not at all.
I just, you know, I try to validate everything that they felt, whether they were mad or sad or happy or whatever. I've always tried to validate it, because what they feel is what they feel. Who am I to tell them that they don't? That's so right. You know, and we just go from there. It's how you deal with that feeling and that emotion. And you know, we had a show one time about, I had asked Marshaley what it was like to have a mother like me, because, you know, a lot of times a lot of her friends got real conservative type families, or, you know, families that don't feel like they can talk to their mom or dad or whatever the situation may be. And I kind of looked at my daughter as kind of like, not the black sheep, but just for lack of a better phrase, the black sheep of that particular, you know, incident.
Yes.
You know what I mean, Marshaley?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we had a show, and I asked her what it was like for her. You know, how did she feel about having a mother like me who's gone through what I've gone through and done what I've done? And it's not a secret. And she, tell them what you said.
I don't know. I feel like my friends think I would be ashamed, but I'm not. Like,
yeah,
I definitely like learned from the stories that you told me and the things that you went through, because everything you went through was so traumatic. And now I just look at it like it happened for a reason.
Absolutely.
Even though it shouldn't have happened, it did, and it happened for a reason. And so, I mean, I'm proud of you and where you've come from and where you are today, because back, who knows, like,
I could still be out there kicking it.
Yeah, or not out there and
right and dead.
Not here right now.
Absolutely.
You know?
And you know, for those of you who have never heard me speak or who don't really know me very well, for a lot of years I worked the streets. I was a prostitute for over 11 years. And it took me four children and a whole host of things to happen to me for me to realize that my life was going the wrong way. And after Marshaley was born, she kind of opened myself up, or opened me up, to the fact that I wanted stability for her, and me doing what I was doing wasn't going to have that. So, you know, she was the ultimate reason why I chose to come back to Oregon and come home and settle down or whatever. And it's still hard nowadays, but, you know, it is what it is. So for those of you who didn't know, that's where my relationship with my children come from, because, you know, I'm proof that you can go through whatever you go through in life. And let me tell you, I've been through quite a bit. In fact, I don't think there's any scenario that somebody can bring to me that I haven't dealt with in some kind of way. And that's real, real talk. But that's where it comes from. And, you know, I can show that your children can go somewhere. They can be somebody. You know, they don't have to end up just like you were. You know, my daughter isn't a prostitute, and she doesn't have to be a prostitute. And she knows that, you know, and she knows how the signs to look for and the warnings and things like that to come out. She knows what to look for. So, you know,
and not only that, like, everybody always told me I was going to be a statistic. I was going to end up pregnant. I was going to be this, and I was going to be that. And in the back of my mind, when they would say those things, all I could say to myself was, I'm going to prove you wrong.
Right.
You know, and now those people will look me dead in my face today and won't even acknowledge the things that I've done, or even apologize for the things that they've said. And I don't expect them to, but it's still kind of like, it hurts in a sense, because I'm like, geez, you really doubted me that much.
Because of my past and who I was and how I am.
And not only that, but also like where we grew up. We grew up in the woods. And it was a bad environment.
That sounds like we grew up in the forest.
Well, everybody who knows us knows what the woods
mean. Right. That was the name of our apartments a long time ago. It's a different name now, but the apartments that we grew up in. It was called the St. John's Woods, so everybody calls it the woods. So that's where that comes from. Just for those of you who are listening who don't know what she's talking about, I didn't raise my kids in the forest. Their friends weren't rabbits and deers. She says the woods. She meant the apartments that she grew up in. And that's true. You know, I've had many people come to me and think that because of where I live or whatever, that my children will be statistics, but they don't get it. They don't understand that my children's best defense against the world is me. It's me. And me being real and being through what I've been through, I can actually look my daughter in the face and say, hey, remember what I said? And she'll be like, oh yeah. You know, and not put herself in that situation. Not that it's always, you know, us putting ourselves in a situation, but she knows what to look for to stay away from, you know, the things that would cause a situation like that. So for everybody out there who just thinks that I'm whatever, you heard it from my daughter's mouth. So it is what it is. And for anybody young out there, I want you to, you know, listen to the words that come out of our mouths, because, you know, I know what I'm talking about when I say that sometimes we have to do things we don't want to do. And that doesn't necessarily mean something illegal. I'm just saying sometimes we don't want to go to school, but we have to. Or I don't want to go to work today, but you have to. So, you know, for the young people out there, there's a lot of things that go on in your parents' lives when they were growing up, whatever it may be, good, bad, whatever. And if you have the relationship with your parents where you feel like you can't speak to them, then either find somebody who you can speak to, or just go ahead and get the courage and sit down and just say something to your parents. Because, you know, if you start the conversation, then maybe the conversation will go on. But if somebody doesn't start it, it's not going to happen. That's, you know, right. But I've always told everybody out there, you know, if you don't know anybody, I'm here on the air once a month. You can always call in and I can always talk to you. It doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, where you're at, or anything like that. I won't judge you. It doesn't matter the scenario. You can call and I'll talk to you, because everybody out there is important, and everybody out there has a life that's important, and everybody out there has somebody who cares. And that, if that has to be me, that's fine. You know, everybody's life is important, and I want you guys to know that. And I say that because for the last week or so, well, I'd say maybe 2 weeks, I've been having a really hard time in my head. Anybody who knows me, they know that I have some issues mentally, and because of my past, and I've kind of been going through it with myself lately, and I'm one of those people that you don't find, you know. I'm able to catch that, and I know that I'm not feeling well, and hopefully change that. But there's a lot of people out there that don't. They can't. They don't know what to do, and they end up committing suicide, or, you know, doing something else that isn't okay. And I want you guys to know, I'm very open with my listeners that I have had a hard time the last couple weeks. But, you know, I stay strong, and I just try to, you know, keep it pushing and go on with life. And don't let those things that are in your mind that are haunting you, don't let them take you over. Don't let them get to you. Your life is important. You are cared about. And there is somebody that you can talk to if you need them.
That's right.
Unconditionally, with no judgment. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and if there's nobody else, absolutely, you can call me and I will talk to you. So I know how that feels. And I know the feeling of not being able to talk to your parents and not being able to, you know, get what you feel out there. I know that feeling and I understand that feeling. So I get it. I get where you're coming from. And that's another thing. I've always told my kids, I get it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand. I have a different way of parenting, mm-hmm. you know. I talk about life the way it is, mm-hmm. because that's how it is. Why sugarcoat it for your kids? Mm-hmm. For what? So you can set them up?
Yeah.
You know, no, that's not how it mm-hmm. goes. No. So me parenting my children the way I do has made them the way they are. But, you know, I think a lot more people should open their eyes mm-hmm. and ears and mm-hmm. mind. Mm-hmm. To what their younger generation has to say and how they feel, because there's a lot going on and we're going to lose a lot of young lives if we don't. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's a conversation that a lot of people don't know how to start, and I'm going to tell you how to start it. You sit down and you say, I love you, I want to talk to you. That's how you start it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be rude, you don't have to yell, you don't have to whisper, you don't have to do anything. Just sit down and tell that person that you care about them and I want to hear what you have to say. Even if you don't like it. You don't have to like everything. Nobody told you you had to like everything in life. You don't have to like what they have to say. Mm-hmm. But you do need to listen. Hearing and listening mm-hmm. are two different things.
Yes.
I can hear your words all day long. Mm-hmm. But if I feel it and I listen to it, that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do with our younger generation. Feel it. We need to feel what they're talking about. You went through it. I went through it. And they're going through mm-hmm. it. So, you know, with everything going on, I just want to put that out there. Coming from somebody who has the issues that I've been dealing with, I think that if I can do it, anybody can, mm-hmm. you know. If I can, you know, figure it out somehow, whether it be within myself or with somebody else, then I think that the next person can yes. at least try. You know, mm-hmm. nobody's perfect and everybody has issues, but, you know, I think that if more people open their eyes and minds, that maybe things will turn out differently in the future. But who am I? I'm just me, you know? Mm-hmm. So those are just a little pieces of information I want to throw out there. So, Mommy, Marshalia.
What?
Mommy, wipe your face. Wipe your face. I hear it. I love you.
I love you too.
Yeah. And guess what? I just had to tell you that also, for those of you listening, you know, I like to talk about my son. He is the best in the world. He is. He amazed me this morning. I was so happy with him. I couldn't sleep last night. I don't know why. I was so tired. Like, I could feel my eyes trying to close, but I could not fall asleep. And so because of that, I didn't get up this morning to get him up. Mm-hmm. But I vaguely remember opening my mm-hmm. eyes and seeing him. And he had a white shirt on. I was like, oh, that's a nice white shirt. You look good. And that's it. I woke back up and he was gone to school. Mm-hmm. But I can't believe it. I was so amazed. He got up all by himself. You know, he heard my alarm. He turned my alarm off. He got everything done. He did what he needed to do all by himself. And this is like, you know, this is amazing to me. This is great for me. You know, my son's 15 and I'm like, wow. You know, we've had these mm-hmm. issues with him about it. But that was really great. Yeah. So when you see your brother, tell him, hey, you know, tell him what's up. Tell him you're proud of him or whatever, because he's actually been doing real good since you've been gone, making sure that he does what he's supposed to do. I'm quite amazed with his abilities nowadays. I was about to say something else, so I had to say abilities. See, that's me. I should have a late night show. You know, but yeah, so I just want to tell you that, Marshalia, because, you know, you're on the phone now, and I might as well tell you now instead of waiting. So, yeah, anyway, is there anything on your mind? You have any more pet peeves?
Yeah, a pet peeve is when I'm with my brother and they tell me that he's not my brother because he's black. I don't look black. That right there makes me so angry.
That's stereotyping because they don't know.
Yeah, but that's like one of my biggest pet peeves in the world. It's just like
people they look at her and judge her for what they see, but what they don't know is that our family is black, and if you look at the pictures of our family, you'd be like, "Whoa!" I'm sure that if you looked at me and then looked at, you know, different people in our past, you would not associate the two, you know, because I have, you know, blue eyes and fair skin, and my hair is lighter, and they're not, and so they're like, "Wait a minute," but yeah, that's kind of crazy that people do that, and they never believe us, do they, Marshalia?
No,
they never believe us. But it's okay. That's all right. You don't have to believe me. It's okay. That's just one less person I have to worry about. yeah.
Oh, you know what? Another pet peeve. This one's kind of a funny one.
Go ahead.
I found it in my socks. Those little tiny holes you get in your socks or whatever, like your favorite pair of socks, too. And you find a hole in it, and it's like right by the toe.
And your big toe pops out of it. That's great. Okay, we're going to take a...
Oh, I love my socks.
We're going to take a break, and this is John Legend, Ordinary People, one of my favorite songs.
All right.
Stay on the line.
I'm in love with you, but this ain't the honeymoon. Past the infatuation phase, right in the thick of love. At times we get sick of love. It seems like we argue every day. I know I misbehaved, and you've made your mistakes, and we both still got room left to grow. And though love sometimes hurts, I still put you first, and we'll make this thing work. But I think we should take it slow. We're just ordinary people. We don't know which way to go, 'cause we're ordinary people. Maybe we should take it slow. Take it slow, oh, oh. This time we'll take it slow. Take it slow, oh, oh. This time we'll take it slow. This ain't a movie, no. No fairy tale conclusion, y'all. It gets more confusing every day. Sometimes it's heaven sent, then we head back to hell again. We kiss, then we make up on the way. I hang up, you call. We rise and we fall, and we feel like just walking away. As our love advances, we take second chances. Though it's not a fantasy, I still want you. Take it slow, oh, 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 oh.
And we're back. And while we were on break, I heard some very interesting information that just kind of sparked me. So everybody knows that, you know, I've had 6 children, and that I've only raised 2, my youngest 2. And my other children were either adopted out or at some point at some kind of foster care system or within a state system. And that I've recently reunited with all of my children. And I found out that one of my guests is actually in the foster care system. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is because, as everybody knows, and like I told this young lady during break, is it's important to me that you and everybody else out there hear what the younger generation has to say. And coming from somebody who's in the foster care system, it's important for me to know how you feel, how it is that, you know, you feel like they're doing for you. You know, you go to Rosemary Anderson?
Yes, ma'am.
Which is an alternative school.
Yes, ma'am.
And for anybody out there who doesn't know or, you know, never took the time to listen, I went to an alternative school also. For the kids that go to alternative schools, there's a reason why they ended up in an alternative school. And this young lady sitting next to me, being in the foster care system, there's a lot of reasons why you've ended up in an alternative school, I'm sure. Do you feel like once you were in it, do you feel like they, you know, they don't really, do they do for you the way you should be done, or the foster care system in general?
Well, actually, I actually got a really lucky because I was really close with my case, with my DHS caseworker. So we were really close. So she always made sure my needs were met. Like, we're really close. Like, I've been knowing her since I was 12 and I'm 17 now. So I just, she's just some, a woman I can trust, you know, like, but being in foster care, you know, it's a really like tribulation, you know, like it's not easy. Like, it's not like, oh, you know, like mommy, daddy, family thing. It's not like that. Like, don't think it's like that, because there's some foster parents that do not care about their kids.
Absolutely.
And they're just in it for the money. And that's what, like, really needs to stop. But I actually had good luck because I love my foster mom. She's just the most classiest woman I ever met. Like, she's beautiful. I just and love her. Like,
that's good.
I'm and my foster dad too. Like, they're both good people. Like, you know,
that's good.
And they actually care. And I know they do because they show it. So
that's good. And this is coming from the younger generation, y'all. You know, I was in the foster care system also. I was in state care for many years. I got released into my father's custody when I was 15, with a whole host of issues. And you know, my experience was opposite of yours. I felt like nobody understood me. They didn't care. You know, I would go from group home to group home to foster home to foster home. You know, I felt like nobody understood what was going on with me, and nobody listened. And because of that, and amongst other things, my life went in a different direction. And there's,
I'm sorry. I have any advice for, like, I have some advice for the foster kids out there that are young and just, like, not knowing what's going on.
And for you adults who may know somebody who's a foster child.
You know, I know it's hard sometimes because I've been dealing with this since I was 12, but I love my family to death, my biological family. I wouldn't do any, I would do anything for them. But, you know, DHS will pay for your college. If you really do good in school, they will pay for your college. So just at least suck it up as much as you can, because that's free college and that's free, like, you know, subsidy programs if you actually take advantage of the system, you know. You just have to do the right thing because that's what they want you to do.
Right.
I mean, there's, of course, there's some bads, there's some pros and some cons. Like I said, like, I was lucky to get a great caseworker and some great foster parents. But
yeah,
I've been through my little things, like going to group homes and stuff. So, but it's like, you know what you said, like, it makes you a stronger person.
Absolutely. And for those out there who may know somebody who's in the foster care system, or you are in the foster care system, and it hasn't been a pleasant experience for you, know that you can pull through it, and you can get through it. I promise you, you can. If you just stay positive within yourself, there's always a silver lining in everything, no matter what the tragedy is. There's something in there that is a silver lining, some kind of speck that's positive, and you just have to hold on to that one speck. You know, you can do it, and I believe in everybody out there. You know, everybody, anybody can do anything they want if you just put your mind to it and you stay strong with your, within yourself. You don't have to stay strong for somebody else. Stay strong for you and for your future. Don't worry about what other people think. People are going to do wrong to people every day. Every day it happens. There's hatred and evil and whatever in the world, and it's never going to stop. It's always going to be there. So you remember, if you take it in and you soak that in, then that's what's going to happen to you. Yes. But if you look at the silver lining and you say, you know what, they're doing this and they have to suffer their consequences for doing that evilness.
The same people hating on you now is going to be looking up to you in a couple years.
Absolutely, and that's the truth. So, you know, I know that it can be hard to have to deal with some of the things that our youth deal with today, from abuse to, you know, school, whatever it may be. But hold on, just hold on, just find that, that little speck and just hold on to it. You know, tell yourself it's not you, it's whoever's doing it to you. So don't let yourself absorb that negativity and that evil. And you know, I'd like to talk to you more about your experiences with it, just because of my children being in the foster care system and myself. You know, it's an interesting subject for me. And I feel like through my life and my experiences and the dealings that I've had to deal with, you know, losing my children or whatever to the system, I feel like I can put all that together and, you know, put it out there for somebody and maybe they can grasp it and not make the same mistakes that I made for my children to be taken from me, which I own up to. I was not perfect. I made wrong decisions, and that was my choice to make, and that was my fault. So, you know, hey, I'm not perfect. I'm human. And I've forgiven myself for those mistakes and moved on with my life. But, you know, for those of you out there going through it, when you get older or you are away from all of that, try to have the same outlook. You know, just try. For all the negativity that happens, just try to have the same outlook. You don't have to be perfect, but you do have to be human.
Yes.
So, Delphine.
Yes, ma'am.
What do you think when it comes to, you know, people in general, and our youth, especially somebody who's in the foster care system or in the state system at all, any kind of state system, what do you think it is that people need to hear or see or experience or whatever to get them to open up and listen to, like this young lady here and her experiences and why she's where she's at?
Right. I mean, I think that this is, you know, an approach that's sometimes as difficult, you know, for adults, because it's one that has to be non-judgmental. And because we have had the experiences, we kind of know what is going to happen on the other side. So it's really hard to talk to youth and not judge them for what decisions they are making or they have made, so that you can actually create, like, you know, trust. It really is really difficult and hard, you know, and I try to work at it, you know, as much as I can, because I remember not really enjoying, you know, being feeling, you know, judged. But it really is, you know, difficult. I think that that is what any youth, you know, and especially the youth who haven't had consistent adults, you know, and especially positive adults consistently throughout their life, I think that they want to feel like they are heard and that they're seen and that they're not judged, you know?
And I want to throw out there, just because I want to say this, just because a child or a person is in foster care or in the state system, that doesn't mean that that child or that person is bad. Something, whatever the situation may be, whether it was themselves or somebody in their life or whatever happened, happened, and it ended up them being where they're at. But that does not make them a bad person. It doesn't make anybody a bad person. It just makes the situation that happened a little bit more difficult to deal with at times. So just because a child's in foster care doesn't make them this bad kid. You know, oh God, you're in foster care and you're in alternative school, so guess what, you're bad. No, no, we're all somebody. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have something to say. I have some nephews that's in the foster care system. Two of them was actually adopted out. But how they became part of the foster system was because my brother and his wife were using drugs.
Absolutely.
And so the court gave them a time period get off drugs. Well, first, they wanted my brother to leave his wife alone because they knew that my brother would be a good father without the wife.
Right.
But he felt that since it was his wife, that should be his choice.
Right.
So since he did not get rid of the wife, they
took
the kids.
See.
So the children is in foster care. The oldest boy, he just turned 18 in February. But he left the foster system on his own and took care of his self and fend for himself from the age of 14 to 18.
And that's what's up. He learned. We're going to have to wrap this up. It's about time. So with all that being said, and everybody out there, I want you to understand yourself, love yourself, and love everyone else.
Yes.
You know, it is what it is. And I'm out till next month. This is Hennessy the Goon, one of my best friends. Peace, and I love y'all.
I acknowledge I ain't perfect. Trying to turn the other cheek and trying to be the bigger person. But it's easier to say this. I reflect.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 7 o'clock, and next is Keeping It Real. Stay tuned.
Got me stressing with this lesson. Is God trying to tell me something? If he is, then what's the message? I'm trying to get this money for my brother.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor One Words Alive Tour on Thursday, April 5th, 7 p.m. at Specs Records and Tapes, 8216 North Denver Avenue in Portland. This in-store performance by One Word for his Alive Spring Tour will be followed by several sets from local hip-hop support, Lisa Vasquez, Burt Sienna, Valvoline, and Northern Draw. This is an all-ages show. Again, all ages. That's One